National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
One high ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nashville.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the south, going down right here on the Free to Train Network Audio Shop Talk, right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, your homeboy Joseph Ward at www.freedomtrainradio.com. And man, we get it in, we keep it in, we hold it down, we get down, we have fun over here at Freedom Train Network. We bring you these podcasts in a particular manner that's designed specifically for our community. And if you don't know, then it ain't for you. Hold up. You heard me? Hey, man, remember the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go through the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the African History Curriculum app, which is available in the Google Play Store, so make sure you go get it. All you can do is type in On the Shoulders of Giants. You can get that. We have the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, as well as speaking engagements, educational sessions, keynote sessions, anything you need On the Shoulders of Giants doing academic and speaking realm and empowerment realm and historical realm. And they got you. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshoulders1.com. And remember, stay tuned because On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3, South America, will be available soon. So make sure you keep your ear to the ground. All you got to do is just keep up. And you can support On the Shoulders of Giants on Patreon by visiting www.patreon.com/OTSOG. You can become a patron, whichever level that you decide to patronize. I have certain things for you, certain thank you gifts. So go ahead and be a patron. Of course, we're going to show our appreciation for you being a patron, as well as the Fix Sports Podcast is also on Patreon. You can go patronize Fix. And, you know, patreon.com/thefix and be down with us because it go down. We need your support. That's how we're going to be able to grow. So we made this for you. So we do need you. We ain't going to act like we don't. We do need you. And we do appreciate all the support that we already get and the support that we're going to get in the future. Hold it down. All right. So today, episode 14, season 3. Our HBCU spotlight is aimed at Bowie State for winning the inaugural CIAA championship game. With Serena Williams, there's controversy over the magazine cover that she was just recently on. And, you know, I'm going to get down deep down into that because it's a, like a Woman of the Year title, but they put the woman in like quotations and stuff. And I think it's GQ. It's the GQ magazine, so people got a problem with it. So we're going to get into that. Le'Veon Bell is a no-show. So it looked like Le'Veon would not be playing for the Steelers this season. So going to go in a little further in that. Only three games in and Zion Williamson. Hell, one game in, Zion Williamson set the basketball world on fire already. So only three games. But hell, after the first game, he set the basketball world on fire. So, but he's like 6'7", 280, and I've heard people say he's like LeBron James, he's like Russell Westbrook, all these different players, but they're describing athletic players for a guy who's 6'7", 6'8", 280. So, wrap your mind around that, all right? Former Cowboys linebacker comes out as gay and he's getting married. Who? What, where, when, how, and why? I'm going to give you all that. Can LeBron James take the Lakers deep into the playoffs? What you think? I think, I'll tell you what I think when I get there, you hear me? give a rundown of the college football playoffs. Give you an update on this last week of the NFL season, which was week 10. Yeah, week 10 of the NFL season. Going to give you a rundown on that. Then our weekly rant is aimed at Draymond Green. Of course, you should know by now if you haven't. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant got into it after a game a couple nights ago. Draymond ain't in my weekly rant for getting into it with Durant and getting fined for that. But he in my rant because he didn't give Kevin Durant the ball. You got Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry on your team, and you decide that you want to be the hero at the end of the game, and you fucked it up. That's why you're in the weekly rant. So, got the rundown. We got our housekeeping out the way. You already know what it is, how we get down. So, let's go ahead and jump into it. You know, we start off with our HBCU spotlight, and it's aimed at Bowie State for winning first CIAA championship. So, the Bowie State Bulldogs football team captured their first CIAA championship after defeating the Fayetteville State Broncos 30-10 Saturday in Salem, Virginia. Senior quarterback Amir Hall had his hand and legs in on all four Bowie State touchdowns. He ran for three touchdowns before halftime and connected with Maurice Williams on the screen pass for a 39-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. It's a very exciting time for the university, coach Damian Williams Wilson said. The guys were prepared and played hard. The coaching staff did a great job in preparing them for the championship game, and we're very excited that we came out with the win, right? The Bulldogs took control immediately after Bowie State forced a fumble on the opening kickoff. The teams traded possessions before Hall marched the team 87 yards for a touchdown, capped by a 14-yard quarterback keeper. Defensive end Oluwaleke, I'm not going to try to, Oluwaleke, a Jenny Fua strip sack on the ensuing drive, gave the Bulldogs the ball on the Broncos' 19-yard line and set up a 6-yard haul touchdown run three plays later. Fayetteville State got on the board in the second quarter with a 28-yard field goal. But Hall struck again with his third rushing touchdown of the half on an 80-yard rush with 4 minutes to play. The Broncos' best chance to stay in the game evaporated with a minute left in the half when Ajinni Fua recovered his second fumble at Bowie State's 15-yard line. Kicker Gene Carson converted a 19-yard field goal with Hall's touchdown pass and Hall's touchdown pass to Williams in the third, wrapped up the scoring for the Bulldogs. After seeding a touchdown in the fourth quarter, Bowie State hosted the passing game and simply ran out the clock on the next three possessions to clinch their first CIAA championship. Wilson said the key to their game plan was taking away the Broncos' running game and avoiding their secondary. We didn't want to get beat deep as far as our passing game. Therefore, we took away the over-the-top pass, he said. We had to make some plays underneath, as well as Amir making some plays with his legs. So I think we did a good job with that. Despite passing for just 180 yards, Hall broke the CIAA all-time passing yards record in the third quarter. He led the Bulldogs with 138 yards rushing. Bowie State's ability to run up the score was effective enough to take them to the championship game in 2015 and 2016. And last year's offense wrote a significant portion of the school's record book. But finding some symmetry on both sides of the ball proved to be a winning recipe in 2018. A year after averaging more than 50 points a game, the Bulldogs have eclipsed 40 points just twice in 2018. But when the defense disrupts the opposing team's rhythm, as they did in limiting the Broncos to 88 passing yards Saturday, blowouts are necessary. The numbers we put up last year, those numbers only come around once or twice in a lifetime, Wilson said. I think we're playing more as a complete team. We don't have to score 60 points to win the ball game. We have the ability to score that if that's what we need to. But at the end of the day, It's something we didn't do last year, and that's playing defense and keeping the opponent's offense off the field. The Bulldogs are giving up less than 12 points per game since a 42-23 loss to Chauvin University in Week 6. Up next for Boise State is a home game against West Alabama Tigers in the first round of the NCAA Division II playoffs. West Alabama's offense won't be easy to push around, Wilson said, like the Bulldogs. Their team doesn't have any glaring weaknesses. For us to have success, we must stop their running game and try to make them one-dimensional, Wilson said. Offensively, we just need to take advantage of the different looks the defense will give us. So their game is 1 p.m. Saturday at Bulldog Stadium. So shout out to Boo State. Say shout out to Boo State.
Put your hands together for Boo State.
Shout out to Boo State. They won that CIA. They won that CIA. Shout out to Boise State. They won CIA. Shout out to Boise State. Because they won CIA. Yeah. Thank you. You can book me whenever you need me, because your boy will be there holding it down. So, one time for Boise State winning their first CIAA championship. All right. Serena. So, Serena Williams is GQ cover controversy. It's what's going on now, right? So let me read this article to you. Serena Williams may have had one of 2018's most polarizing moments in sports when she criticized umpire Carlos Ramos as a thief during her U.S. Open loss to Naomi Osaka. So it's fitting that one of her biggest honors of the year is causing its own controversy. A 23-time Grand Slam champion who returned to the court this year following the birth of her daughter in September 2017, Williams appeared on the cover of GQ magazine this week. The 37-year-old tennis star was named alongside actors Henry Golding, Jonah Hill, and Michael B. Jordan as part of GQ's Men and Women of the Year honors. Right? So, but Williams' cover in particular has drawn some backlash because it featured the Woman of the Year title with woman in quotations, a move that GQ says is purely artistic, but some have considered disrespectful to Williams. Where's the apparent disrespect? Well, the three Man of the Year covers have no quotation, which might suggest woman isn't as important to GQ. Right? But that doesn't appear to be the case here, regardless of heated Twitter rhetoric, as the typography for the cover was actually handwritten by designer Virgil Abloh, who uses quotation marks in his designs. Abloh even teamed up with Williams herself for the tennis player's U.S. Open outfit, which featured Serena in quotations on trainers and logo on Williams and tutu on Williams' tutu dress. So Serena and logo was in quotation. So, questions aside, the honor pegs Serena as a standing icon of her sport even after one of the most controversial points of her career. One far more intense than debate over the magazine head, right? The six-time U.S. Open champion was bedridden for 6 weeks following her pregnancy in 2017. Got off to a rough start in 2018. Suffering early exits early in the year. Then she withdrew from the French Open bout with Maria Sharapova due to a pectoral injury, and entered Wimbledon with just a number 25 ranking despite 6 career wins there. Williams finished the year on a climb, however, advancing to the Wimbledon final and then doing the same at the U.S. Open. In August, she easily tops Forbes' list as the highest earning female athletes, confirming her value as one of sport's most marketable names. So, if you look at the cover has the word man crossed out, and like they said, woman is in quotations, and it's saying woman of the year. So woman in quotations, man is crossed out of the year. So I'm not sure who all is mad. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure who all is mad. I know I heard about this story earlier in the week, so I'm kind of looking for some tweets now as I speak. But how does Serena feel about it? You know, that's why I'm mad on it. Is Serena mad? If Serena ain't got no problem with it, I really ain't got no problem. Even though I don't agree with everything that Serena kind of agree with. But in this one, I'm not going to get all up in arms about this one. If Serena ain't got no problem with it, Joe ain't got no problem with it. I'm sure Serena saw this cover before it came out and had a, you know, at least saw it before it came out. I'm sure of that. And she probably didn't have a problem, I'm assuming, because the cover is out the way it is. And I don't know, as right now, I haven't heard anything about Serena, but I don't know if Serena has a problem with it. So does Joseph have a problem with it? No, I don't. Joseph doesn't have a problem with it. If Serena don't have a problem with it. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know. You know, they say dude got a habit of doing that. He handwritten the cover, all these things. Handwriting the cover don't mean nothing to me, you know. If I'm the person who's upset about it, I don't give a shit about him handwriting the cover. But once again, you know, some people are upset. Whoever the group of people are, I don't want to just say women, whoever the group of people are, you know, it's like, whatever, you know. You know, we got black people problems over here. That's all I'm saying. That's basically what I'm getting at, man. We got black people problems. You know what I'm saying? We got real problems. We're trying to stop our community from being gentrified. So I don't really have time to be mad about a magazine cover. You know what I'm talking about? So if Serena ain't got no problem with it, I ain't got no problem with it. I'm trying to stop my community from being gentrified. We're trying to make sure people fed. We're trying to make sure people can survive at the end of the day. So, you know, that's where we at. But just want to bring you up to speed on, you know, people got a problem with what's going on with Serena and the cover and everything that's going on. So let me not say they got a problem with Serena, but they have a problem with the cover. With the cover of the magazine and the word woman being in quotations. Because that, you know, like you're saying, it's not as important as men, and women are not seen in the same light as men. So you got some people who's mad. And remember, everybody has a voice. Everybody has a means to express their voice, rather. So, you know, that's how that goes. But we got real black people problems over here. All right. So Le'Veon Bell didn't show up for the deadline for him to show up. So he going to forfeit his money and miss the season. So let's get a little more details about this. Then we're going to talk about James Conner and the Steelers moving forward, right? So the month-long saga surrounding whether or not Le'Veon Bell will play for the Pittsburgh Steelers this season was definitely determined Tuesday. As anticipated, Bell did not sign his Steelers franchise tender by Tuesday's deadline, as stipulated under the collective bargaining agreement, meaning the prolific running back is no longer eligible to play this season. With Bell foregoing his $14.45 million he was slated to make under the tag, it's unlikely the running back will ever play a down again with the Steelers. That's where I'm at. I don't think he's Steelers no more. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert issued the following statement after the deadline. I want to confirm that Le'Veon Bell did not sign his franchise tender today, and as a result, he will not be eligible to play football during the 2018 season. While Steelers owner Art Rooney II expressed hope that Bell would sign his franchise tender before the deadline and join the team for their late season push, it became clear over the past week that the former second-round pick had no strong long-term incentive to sign the tender since it wouldn't have an overly adverse effect on his free agency prospect. I understand that business is an element of the game of football, Mike Tomlin said Tuesday ahead of the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, and the elements of the game, relationships within the game, football-related relationships that we all hold near and dear and understand, then football at this level, there's also a business element. Even when we don't understand it, we're sensitive to it, so we're not shocked when things happen from a business standpoint. Can't be mad at that, right? Can't be mad at that man want to make sure he's in a good place to get his money. As NFL Network's Tom Pelissero and another person's name I can't pronounce reported last week with the NFL Management Council and the NFL Players Association agreeing the Steelers couldn't utilize the franchise tag second-year term for Bell in 2019. It's almost certain the Steelers would not tag him a third straight year. That's because the third-year franchise tag would pay out the quarterback salary number, and it's highly unlikely the Steelers would pay Bell more than $20 million for 1 year. Man, I hadn't thought about that one iota, Tomlin said when asked if he's considered that Bell has played his final down for the Pittsburgh. Again, like I said repeatedly, I mean, I'm focused on the guys that are here, man. We got enough challenges that are significant in terms of meeting the things that we need to meet this week. So, and they're trying to get that W, right? I forgot who they played, but they're trying to get that W. The Steelers have two other options. Let Bell walk into free agency when the new league year begins in March. Just do that. Or place him under the transition tag. The transition tag is a one-year tender that would allow Bell to negotiate contract offers from other teams. The Steelers will have the right to match any offer sheet Bell signs from another team under the transition tag, but would receive no compensation if they don't. There's a potential dispute looming with the NFLPA over the transitioning tag. What the transition tag should be for Bell. So Bell said last month he believes the Steelers would ultimately place the transition tag on him. While Bell's self-imposed exile looked to be setting up the Steelers for failure, especially after the team's worrisome start, James Conner's emergence as a potential dual threat back has helped cover up Bell's absence. Conner has rushed for 771 yards and 10 touchdowns, in addition to tallying 387 receiving yards and a touchdown for a Steelers team that's won 5 straight games. Conner suffered a concussion in Thursday's blowout with the Carolina Panthers, but the Steelers are optimistic he'll clear protocol for Sunday's game against the Jaguars. That's right. And I'll be watching that game because I'm in Florida and we get all the Jaguars games because I'm 2 hours away from Jacksonville, right? As for Bell, he'll be limited to cheering on his teammates from afar as he waits for the next important deadline in his quest to find contractual bliss. The Steelers can place him on the transition tag starting February 19th. So, I thought Bell would show up before the deadline. I did think Bell would show up before the deadline, but apparently he hasn't. I'm not mad at him. I do understand if I was a Steelers, I'd be a bit disappointed. But the Steelers don't pay like that. Patriots don't pay like that. Steelers don't pay like that. One of the franchises that I forgot who said this early in the week, but you know they don't really pay like that. So they expect, you know, I don't blame Bell, man. You gotta pay me my worth, and if you ain't trying to pay me my worth, I'm gonna find somebody who's gonna pay me my worth. Now the thing is, I think L. Bell got to realize is you're either going to stay with the Steelers, go to another team, and don't get paid your worth, or go to a garbage team and get paid your worth. Now, if he so happens to land on a good team, a playoff contender team, Super Bowl contender team, and get paid his worth, then he lucky in the mug. But for right now, I don't know. It seems that he may not get both. He'll either go to a trash team and not get paid his worth, like go to Cleveland. New York, the Jets, some of the other teams. I can't think of all the goddamn teams, right? I don't know why I tried to think of them right now. But at the same time, he could. No, he'll get his money, but he won't be on a contending team like the Steelers. Or he'll go to another contending team and won't necessarily get his money or stay with the Steelers. And still not get his money, which is like the same thing, right? So, now the interesting thing about this is James Conner is balling, right? That's what makes this good for the Steelers is they have James Conner. And I remember James Conner from Pittsburgh. He played at Pitt. James Conner is a baller. I remember him from Pitt. Like I said, on the season, 771 rushing yards through 10 weeks, 10 touchdowns, 387 receiving yards and a touchdown. So that's 11 total touchdowns and over 1,000 total yards for James Conner this year. Not bad for a backup running back, right? Not bad for a backup running back. So James Conner has done himself favors, but James Conner, as mentioned earlier in the week, I think it was on First Take or Undisputed, one of them shows. I hope James Conner is paying attention to what's happening to Le'Veon and doesn't be the person that's indoctrinated by the game and believe that he has to take these hometown heroes and things, hometown hero discounts and all these things here because he's loyal to the team and not loyal to himself. Be a mercenary. I'm not mad at Elbert. Be a mercenary. It's business at the end of the day. This is business. The coach gonna get his money. The owner's gonna get their money. The GM's gonna get their money. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So the players got to get their money. And if you ain't trying to help me get my money, you in my way of me get my money, man, I'm gonna get my money with or without you. Now, how I get my money, that's the question. But best believe, I'm getting my money. And I ain't taking no shorts, no losses, and I ain't getting bitched either. I don't have to be no asshole, but I'm going to be firm, and I ain't going to be no bitch. You hear me? So I'm not mad at Bell. I ain't mad at James Conner either. James Conner, be an opportunist. Take advantage of an opportunity right in front of you to, you know, have a great NFL career, not just be a backup running back, but show the league that you are a starting running back. Know what I'm saying? So, matter of fact, let me search. Let me see who was leading the league in rush. Let me see. 2018 NFL rushing. There you go. Rushing leaders. Let's see. Let's see who's leading the league in rushing. Let's see. Let's see if this article don't give me what I need.
Oh, baby, you got what I need.
Rushing leader. So, this site sucks. The Ringer. You are not good. Give me these stats. Give me the NFL rushing stats. Let's see where James Conner. I want to see where James Conner ranked as far as compared to the other running backs in the league and what they're doing on the year. Oh, yeah, man. Shout out to Frank Gore, too. Frank Gore out there still balling, man. Shout out to Frank Gore, man. One of my favorite running backs of all time. Okay, so rushing. So James Conner is third in the league in rushing. Todd Gurley is number one with 988. Ezekiel Elliott, number two, 831. James Conner, three, 771. Kareem Hunt, four, 754. Adrian Peterson is fifth in the league in rushing with 672 yards. He has four touchdowns. What's his average? They don't have his average. Well, he's averaging 74 yards a game. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? That's live, though. I ain't gonna lie, that's live. Todd Gurley is leading the league in rushing touchdowns. James Conner is second in the league in rushing touchdowns. So James Conner is third in the league in rushing yards, second in the league in rushing touchdowns. Okay. And so Adrian Peterson is averaging 4 yards a carry. James Conner is averaging 4.7 was basically 5 yards carry. Ezekiel Elliott, 5 yards carry. Todd Gurley, 5 yards carry. Kareem Hunt, 4.5. Adrian Peterson, 4.3. Melvin Gordon is averaging 5.4. Matt Breida from San Francisco is averaging 5.6 yards a carry. Philip Lindsay of Denver is averaging 5.4 yards a carry. Nick Chubb is averaging 6.2 yards a carry, and he has 579 rushing yards on the season. That's what's up, man. Trying to see who got the highest rushing average. But that is, man. So that's what's going on with Steelers and L-Bell. L-Bell not showing up. He's not going to be a Steeler this year. We're going to have to wait to see what happens next year. But the predictions, you know, choices is go to a garbage team, get paid. Go to a good team and not get his money. Go to a good team, get his money. Stay with the Steelers and don't get his money. We're going to see. We're going to see somebody get paid. All right. So the big question is, who is Zion Williamson? Zion Williamson, because he seems to be a beast. He's from Spartanburg, South Carolina. He's a freshman. He's 6'7", 285 pounds. He averages 25.3 points per game, 10.7 rebounds a game, 2.7 assists per game, and he's only played 3 games, or they only had 3 games logged. So the first game against Kentucky was the game that really sparked it, because he just came out. There was like a dunk fest, right? The man went, so on the season, right, I think he's shooting 82% on the season from the field. Like straight up, like dude shooting 82% from the field on the season. So he's averaged 76 total minutes. He's 32 for 39. He's made 32 or 39 shots. 82% from the field. He's 33% from behind 3-point line. He's 1 for 3 behind the arc. He's a 61% free throw shooter. He's 11 of 18 from the line. 32 rebounds, 8 assists, 9 blocks, 2 steals. Got 4 turnovers. And against Kentucky, he had 28 points. What do you have? How many rebounds? He had 28 and 7 against Kentucky. Against Army in the second game, he had 27 and 16. Then against Eastern Michigan, he had 21-9. And against Kentucky, he shot 84% from the field, went 11-13. Against Army, he shot 78%, he went 11-14. And against Eastern Michigan, he went 83%, went 10-12. So Zion Williamson, he's number one forward for Duke, 6'7", 285. He's the new hype, new hotness in college basketball this year. They're going to be talking about him all year because, you know, Duke gonna be good, and he's not even the best player on his team. That's the thing. They're talking about him already. He's not even the best player on the team, and it's crazy. Yeah, their next game is Monday at 4:30 p.m. against San Diego State, right? And we've seen this before. We've seen players have all this hype and stuff at the beginning of the season, and the end of the season they don't have it. They'll have it around tournament time. All these things here, and then we see what happened in the draft, and they fade out. Hopefully, this don't happen with Zion. Hopefully, they got everything together. Hopefully, they're holding it down. Now, being at Duke helps. You under Coach K, and if you come out of Duke and your ass don't know how to play basketball, you weren't listening. You weren't trying. You weren't really trying to get better. Being at Duke is a advantage and a blessing and a luxury, because you get to play for Coach K, who knows the game like the back of his hand, and Coach K gonna get you right. And if you don't get right up under Coach K, you need to quit basketball for the rest of your life. Because you ain't trying to win. You ain't trying to be a winner. You ain't trying to be somebody in life. You's a loser. You's a loser. You's a loser. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at. Zion Williamson, new hotness. Keep an eye on him. Next game is Monday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time against San Diego State. And it's happening. It seems like it's going to be on ESPN to Zion Williamson. But remember, he's still not the best player on his team. So Duke might be a force to reckon with. And Duke did beat the shit out of Kentucky that game, right? So the next story is something I just actually learned about earlier today. I was scrolling. I came across the story. So a former linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys comes out to the public as a gay man, and he's announced his wedding. Jeff Rohr, who played in the NFL from 82 to 87, will marry Joshua Ross this weekend, right? Jeff Rohr, a former Dallas Cowboys linebacker, came out as gay Wednesday in an interview in the New York Times. "I've given at least 5 people heart attacks with this news," he told the paper. "But for the most part, many of my closest friends, including some of my former teammates with the Cowboys, could not have been more happy and supportive," right? Now 59 years old, Rohr, a TV commercial producer and divorced father of 2, is planning to walk down the aisle once again, this time with the man. Joshua Ross, Rohr's 36-year-old fiance, is a celebrity esthetician and owner of the West Hollywood company Skin Lab. The two men were tied tonight on Sunday in Los Angeles. Rohr, who played in the NFL from 1982 to 1987, reflected on his late in life decision to come out. "If I had told the Dallas Cowboys in the 80s that I was gay, I would have been cut immediately," Rohr told the Times. "It was a different world back then, but people didn't want to hear that." Rohr joins a very small club of former NFL players who have come out as gay, according to LGBTQ sports site OutSports. There were just 11 of them as of June 2017, and only 7 ever played in a regular season game. Rohr makes 8. After Rohr and Ross say, "I do" this weekend, Rohr will be the first known NFL player to marry a same-sex partner. So there it is. That's big news. All right, Jeff, there you go. One time for Jeff and his man. There it is. Look here. I don't care. Do your thing, Jeff. I'm trying to get me some. I'm trying to get me a girlfriend. I don't care, Jeff. Do your thing, Jeff. That's you. Do your thing, Jeffrey. Whatever. So, you know, Cowboy Nation, treat how you want. Of course, you know some people are highly upset about this. I mean, you know, that's one thing I don't get. I ain't gonna lie. That's one thing I don't get. Whether you subscribe to homosexuality or not, there's some people who get definitely upset about this. And it ain't that serious to me, man. Like I said, I'm just trying to concentrate on getting me something. I'm trying to concentrate on getting me a girlfriend, a woman in my life, to give me something, rub on me and whisper in my ear. But I never understood why other people got definitely upset at seeing homosexuality or hearing about it or being in the same vicinity as a person who was homosexual. Like, I never understood that. Like, it ain't that serious. But now as I got older and working in the world of HIV/AIDS, I know that a lot of dudes who act like that, they have repressed homosexual feelings. You know what I'm saying? So they're attracted to the person and mad and all these other things that come around. And so it's just latent homosexual feelings, stuff that they've been repressing. And then, you know, you have a group of men who they act like that toward gay men in public, but behind closed doors, they the ones that's getting penetrated. You know what I'm saying? So it'd be like that. So, Jeff, man, do your thing, man. That's what you want to do, bro. Do you, Jeff. You and Josh, y'all do what y'all do. Man. Handy business, whatever. Joseph trying to get him a woman in his life. All right. So, can LeBron James help the Los Angeles Lakers make it deep into the playoffs? Because I'm thinking about this, right? Because I'm looking at the Lakers, I'm looking at the landscape of the West. And I don't see a very, very, very tough road for the Lakers outside of them beating themselves. Outside of the Lakers not doing what the Lakers need to do, I don't see a very, very, very tough road. Now, does the team have to gel? Yes. Are they young? Yes. Do they have obstacles? Yes. Do they still need to do some things? Yes. Do they need some tweaks? Yes. The addition of Tyson Chandler was great. They added Tyson Chandler to the squad, right? And so since Tyson Chandler to the squad, that gives them a defensive anchor, right? So you got Tyson Chandler, JaVale McGee. Those are your big men. Caldwell Pope, you got him, Hart, Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, James, Rondo, Lance Stevenson. So, Beasley, they got players. Lakers got players, man. Lakers got players. So don't let the Lakers fool you, act like they don't have no players. But the thing is, they have to put it all together. And that's how we see how good of a coach Walton is as far as putting it all together. Because you could be a coach that have all the talent, but that don't mean you're going to always win. You know what I'm saying? So it's interesting to see what all happens. Because the Lakers are 8-7. And seven. Right now, if the playoffs would start, they would be the seventh seed, I believe. Yeah, so they're seventh in the West. So if the playoffs start today, the Lakers would be the seventh seed in the West. Their record is 8-6. They started off like 0-3 or 0-4, something like that. Then, you know, they're starting to show some flashes of, okay, this team can do something. I personally believe that the Lakers can make a deep playoff run. It's LeBron. LeBron James has been dominating this NBA. It's the same NBA that LeBron James has been dominating. I understand you're in the Western Conference, but it's the same NBA. And this team, talent-wise, overall, is better than last team's talent-wise. Now, are you playing in the West? Yes. Are you playing in the conference with Golden State? But who's the outside of Golden State? Who's that team that would really be a thorn in the Lakers' backside? Would it be the Minnesota Timberwolves? Because I saw the Timberwolves play last night, and they beat the Pelicans. They beat the Pelicans after the Jimmy Butler trade. So this is the Timberwolves without Jimmy Butler. And I think Wiggins had a pretty good game. Of course, you know Towns going to do what he do. Towns is very talented. But Wiggins had a pretty good game. So, in the West, well, this is last year. I don't want no. I want 28. I need 2018, 2019. Wrong ones. Immediately 2018, 2019 standings. But I believe the Lakers can make a run. I believe the Lakers can put it all together. And jail as a squad, I believe they could do what they need to do. So let me see. 1, 2, 9, 7. So if the playoffs start today, this would be the seeding in the Western Conference. It would be Golden State Warriors at 1, Portland Trailblazers at 2, Oklahoma City Thunder at 3, Denver Nuggets at 4, the Clippers at 5, the Grizzlies at 6, the Lakers at 7, Sacramento Kings at 8. The Houston Rockets are 6-7. The Pelicans are 7-7, the Jazz are 7-7, the Spurs are 7-6, the Timberwolves are 6-9, the Suns are 3-10. In the East, you got the Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, Celtics, 76ers, Pistons, Hornets, and Magic. So with the Lakers being at 8-6, they are the Lakers are only 3.5 games behind. Portland Trailblazers for the second spot. So the Lakers are only 3.5 games behind the Portland Trailblazers for that second spot. So it's not far-fetched. How good are the Trailblazers? Are the Trailblazers still the same old Trailblazers? If they are, we're not really worried about them. Will the Thunder give us a better showing than last year? It remains to be seen. Are the Thunder a legit third or fourth seed in the East and in the West? I believe so. But when it comes to the playoffs, what they gonna do, right? The Nuggets, do the Nuggets overall have everything they need to beat the Lakers? The Clippers, I don't think so. The Grizzlies, I don't think so. Kings, I don't think so. So I think the Lakers have a great chance of going deep into the playoffs and maybe facing the Warriors in the Western Conference. But we're going to see. We're going to see. Remember, at the end of the day, it's the same old NBA, and LeBron James has been dominating this NBA. So let's talk a little college football playoffs. On Monday's show, I gave you an update of Week 10 college football playoff. So let's do Week 11. Now, we're going to start from the bottom up because the top 10 really didn't change. But if you forgot top 10, I'll go through that. So number 25 is Boise State University at 8-2. Number 24 is University of Cincinnati at 9-1. Number 23 is Utah State University at 9-1. Number 22 is Northwestern University at 6-4. Now, they're putting Northwestern and Mississippi State both are 6-4. Northwestern is 22, Mississippi State is 21. And they're ahead of Utah and Cincinnati and Boise State because of the records, because of the level of competition that they play, right? Boston College, number 20 at 7-3. Utah is at 19 at 7-3. Washington is at 18 at 7-3. Kentucky is at 17 was at 7-3. Iowa State is at 16 at 6-3. University of Texas is at 15 at 7-3. Penn State University is at 14 at 7-3. University of Florida is at 13 at 7-3. Syracuse University was surprised the hell out of me is at 12 at 8-2. Wasn't expecting that. UCF trying to crack the top 10, they are number 11 at 9-0. So the top 10 is Ohio State at 9-1. Number 9 is West Virginia University at 8-1. I don't trust West Virginia or Washington State. Washington State is at 8 at 9-1. Then you got LSU at 7 at 8-2. We're going to see about that. Got Oklahoma at 6. At 9-1. They have Georgia at 5 at 9-1. And if Georgia wins out, they in there. But they got to beat Alabama. They got to win out. Because Georgia and Alabama playing in the SEC championship game. But that's going to be interesting because this Alabama team, boy. But Georgia ain't no slouch either. And top four is Michigan at 9-1. Notre Dame at 10-0 at number 3. Michigan is 4, Notre Dame is 3. Clemson at 10-0 is number 2, and Alabama at 10-0 is number 1. So that's the college football playoff top 10. So let's talk a little NFL week 10. Week 10 of the NFL season gives you a recap of what happened in the NFL week 10. So first game, Panthers and Steelers. The Steelers dropped that hammer on the Panthers, 52-21 that game. Did I watch that game? I don't remember. Cam went 23 for 29, 193 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 pick. Christian McCaffrey had 14 carries, 77 yards, 1 touchdown. And he was the leading receiver with 5 catches, 61 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, that is. For the Steelers, Big Ben went 22 for 25, 328 yards, 5 touchdowns. Ben don't do that. James Conner had 13 carries, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Antonio Brown had 6 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster had 3 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Vance McDonald had 4 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Jalen Samuels had 3 catches, 22 yards, and a touchdown. And Jesse James had 1 catch. for 8 yards and touchdown. So that's that game. 52 points, 52-21. They dropped their nuts on them boys. The Redskins beat the Bucks 16-3. We need Dallas Cowboys. We need the Bucks to win that game, but you know it's the Bucks. So the Cardinals lost to the Chiefs 14-26. Chiefs continue their winning ways. Pat Mahomes is looking good, but Drew Brees is challenging Pat Mahomes for that MVP now. The Bills dropped their nuts on the Jets 41-10. The Jets don't look good. What's the Jets record? What's the Jets overall record? The Jets are 3-7. Yeah, 3-7. So, yeah. And the Bills are 3-7. So shout out to the Patriots one time for winning the AFC East again. Go ahead and congratulate them now. Jaguars lose another game, 26-29, to the Indianapolis Colts, and Andrew Luck got off. So the Jaguars are 3-6, and the Colts are 4-5. Andrew Luck went 21-29, 285 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 pick. So the Lions lost to the Bears. The Lions are proven to be, seem like they might be frauds. They lost to the Bears 34-22. The Bears look good. The Bears record is 6-3 on the season, and they're looking good in the AFC North. The Saints beat the Bengals 51-14. Drew Brees went 22-25. Drew Brees had the same number of incompletions. He had the same number of touchdowns. 3 incompletions, 3 touchdowns. He went 22-25, 265 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Mark Ingram had 13 carries, 104 yards. Alvin Kamara had 12 carries, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. Michael Thomas had 8 catches, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mark Ingram had 3 catches, 58 yards, and touchdown. Alvin Kamara had 4 catches, 46 yards, and touchdown. So, Saints continue their winning ways. Saints are 8-1 on the season and looking like the best team in the NFC right now. Patriots got their ass whooped by the Titans 34-10. Patriots moved to where they dropped to 7-3. Titans improved to 5-4. Tom Brady went 21-41, 254 to 50%, 254 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Their leading rusher had 31 yards. Tony Michel, Julian Edelman had 9 catches, 104 yards. Josh Gordon had 4 catches, 81 yards. For the Titans, Marcus Mariota had, he went 16-24, 228 yards, 2 touchdowns. Derrick Henry went, he had 11 carries, 58 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Corey Davis had 7 receptions, 125 yards, and a touchdown. Corey. All right, the Falcons fell to the Browns, 28-16. The Chargers beat the Raiders, 20-6, and the Raiders lose another game, and their overall record is 1-8. The Cowboys beat the Eagles. Yeah! I forgot where I got that from, but the Cowboys beat the Eagles 27-20. The Giants beat the 49ers 27-3. Seahawks lost to the Rams 36-31, and the Packers beat the Dolphins 31-12. So, Cowboys won, the Giants won, Redskins won, Eagles lost. That's not good for the Cowboys that the Redskins won. The Cowboys now move into second place in the NFC East. Giants are still last in the NFC East, and the Eagles move to third. So, you know what that means? The Cowboys going to make the playoffs and win the Super Bowl. Yeah. The Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, thank you for giving me much. Thank you, for giving me much. Much time and rhyming, baby girl, I'm grinding, trying to get you on my mind, because I'm shining like a diamond. Ooh. It's time for my weekly rant. It's time for the weekly rant. Friday rant, to be more exact. It's Friday, though. So Draymond Green got suspended one game for the little spat that he had with Kevin Durant. Supposed to be getting fined $120,000. I want to figure that out, but Durant is going to have for the motherfucker thinking he's supposed to take the goddamn last shot when you got Kevin Durant calling for the ball. So let's give you the details before I go off, right? So according to Mark J. Spears of ESPN, Green plans to appeal his one-game suspension of $120,000 following his on-court verbal altercation with Kevin Durant toward the end of regulation of the Warriors game against the Clippers on Monday night. So this is what Zach Lowe tweeted the other day. The Warriors responded by suspending Green for Tuesday's win over the Atlanta Hawks. While Green accepted the suspension, a source said he was surprised by being fined a $120,000 game check and plans to appeal the decision. Interesting tidbit from Mark J. Spears, ESPN. I had asked the union about this late Tuesday, early Wednesday. They said they were waiting to hear from Draymond and that appeals of team-issued fines are far less common than appeals of league-issued fines, right? So the Warriors themselves specifically are fining Draymond Green $120,000. I guess they're trying to say, bitch, we want to let you know that you don't ever try to take the last shot again, right? This is worthwhile news because you very rarely hear of a player appealing a team-related fine, heck, especially a fine that consists of only a one-game suspension. But, bitch, you trying to run $120 out of my pocket, so I don't give a fuck, right? I don't blame Draymond. You trying to run me for $120 for arguing with Kevin Durant? Come on, man. Because Draymond will choose to appeal this suspension fine, which means that he thinks it's unfair. The topic of a possible Durant-Green feud will only continue in the coming days. If Green had opted to accept the fine and punishment for his words with Durant, the Warriors would have probably been able to move on from Monday's fiasco rather easily by stringing together a few victories. As Logan Murdoch of Bay Area News pointed out following Green's Golden State's win over Atlanta on Tuesday, Durant continued to add fuel to the fire as he stated he and Green had yet to make up. You know, Durant is very sensitive too. Instead, the narrative would be that Green not only called Durant they say Green called Durant a bitch. That's what they're saying. He called Durant a bitch, but also mentions his impending free agency during a heat-filled argument, all because Green was called out on a bad play that he did actually make. Yeah, he was on his J.R. Smith right there, right? At the end of the day, the whole situation shouldn't affect the Warriors' label as the favorites to win the title. However, it could very well affect Green and Durant's relationship moving forward and what the Warriors do moving forward as far as signing players, re-signing players, and all that. But before we get to Draymond Green calling Kevin Durant a bitch, which if I was Kevin Durant, you have to show me I'm a bitch. But Draymond, which rhymes with Raymond, why? What was going through your head? Why did you believe that you should take the final shot of the ball game? When not only is Kevin Durant calling for the ball, but you're on a team with Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. You do not ever think about taking the last shot unless somebody tell you, boy. And I'm going to say that again. Boy, you don't ever in your life. Think about taking the last shot of the game when you were on the same team as Kevin Durant, when you were on the same team as Klay Thompson, when you were on the same team as Steph Curry, but bitch, you were on the same team with all three of y'all, and you decide that you going to handle the ball, run it up court, because he ran up the court. He got the rebound, got it from, he got it. He took the ball up the court and just decided he was going to do his best Magic Johnson impersonation and lost the ball and time ran out and they had to go to overtime. Well, all his fake hero ass had to do is pass the ball. looking like Grover from Sesame Street. Come on, Grover. Pass the ball, Grover. Grover, when you were on the team with Kevin Durant, I'm just saying, you pass the ball. You don't take the last shot. You a baller now, Draymond. You a baller, but you ain't that type of baller. You know what I'm saying? Because you benefit from being on a team with Klay Thompson, with originally Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. You benefit from that being that third, fourth option. And you still benefit, you benefit now from being that fourth option on the Warriors. You're a clear fourth option on the Warriors, a clear fourth option. And you're going to be the fifth option soon as Boogie Cousins get there, and he's right. You're going to be the fifth option because Boogie Cousins can drop 40 a night, and you can't. Boogie Cousins is gifted to score like that, and you're not. What you are is the Swiss Army knife for the team. You the bully of the team. You the fighter of the team. You get technical fouls, and you punch people in their neck, and you slam people on their head, and you call other teammates bitches. Now, I think it's fun that you call Kevin Durant a bitch, because we know Kevin Durant didn't like that shit, and we know Kevin Durant took that to heart and took that personally. That's hilarious to me. I'm not going to lie. You know, I like calling people bitches. But I'm gonna only call you a bitch if you deserve to be called a bitch. I don't just go around just randomly willy-nilly calling people bitches. But if you deserve to be called a bitch, I'm gonna call you a bitch. But that is kind of funny to me. The ratchetness I like ignorant shit. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not ratchet. I'm not ignorant, but I do like ignorant shit. I like to see ignorant shit sometimes. And that ignorant shit right there with him calling Kevin Durant a bitch is hilarious to me. So that I do find funny. I don't try to be no hypocrite about that. I find that funny. You know what I'm saying? Call him a bitch. But We wouldn't be here if he would have passed the ball. Grover decided that he gonna get that last shot. Free agency is coming up. Now, will the question moving forward is, will the Warriors be able to keep this squad together? This move didn't help, but remember, it's still early in the season. Still early in the season, so we have a lot more season to go. I'm talking about a lot more season to go. It's very, 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 very early in the season. A whole lot can happen. Teams are going to go on win streaks and losing streaks. 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 But you can't have shit like this. This has to be the first and last time Draymond Green does that, though. He has to understand that this is the first and last time you do this. You do this again, we got to fight for real. Now, I don't agree with him being suspended 100. Well, they probably, I don't know what was all said. We do know he called Kevin Durant a bitch. Now, if they're going to fine him $120,000 for calling Kevin Durant a bitch, that's that bullshit. I'm sure this ain't the first time he called Kevin Durant a bitch either. But they're probably mad he did it on national TV. So I'm assuming he's getting fined because he called Kevin Durant a bitch. Well, I'm assuming that has a lot to do with it. But, you know, just the altercation by itself. But I'm still not understanding how you get fined $120,000 by your team for a verbal altercation. So it has to be more to the story than that. He can't just be getting fined just because of the verbal altercation. Now, I'll walk up on him and be like, hey, man, look, I'm going to fine your ass a couple thousand dollars for thinking you could take that last shot. You know what I'm saying? Is what you not going to do is think your ass supposed to be around here taking last shots. That's what your ass ain't going to do. What you won't do is take that shot. When you got Kevin Durant calling for the ball, what you won't do is take that shot. Well, you got Kevin Durant calling for the ball. So, Draymond, stop being a dick. Don't be stupid. Just say no, Draymond, which rhymes with Raymond. Just say no, Draymond. And you, too, my brother, won't have to worry about being fined. And stop calling your teammate a bitch in public. And that's my weekly rant. I keep saying that. That's my Friday rant. Draymond, stop shooting the motherfucking ball. Boy, your ass ain't no shooter, boy. Stop shooting the motherfucking ball. Boy, pass the goddamn ball at the end of the game. It's just the end of the game, and you really believe that you're supposed to take the last shot. Like, you really, like, you were serious about it. If you go back and look at the film, Draymond was serious about that shit. Like, he was dead serious. I'm talking about dead ass serious, B. Like, dead ass, B. Dead ass, B. Like, my guy. My guy. My guy. My guy, my guy, my guy, my guy, my guy, dead ass B, dead ass B. Don't do that no more, B. Dead ass B, don't dead ass B, dead ass B. Don't do that no more, B. Don't try to take the shot, B. You wild kid, but don't take that shot, B, because you do not have the juice. Draymond Green, you do not have the juice to be taking last shots on that team. You don't. You don't. I'm Joseph Ward. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. Remember, you can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon by visiting www.patreon.com/thefix. That's patreon.com/thefix. Make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com and be on the lookout for On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 3 South America, which will be coming soon. You can also visit www.ontheshoulders1.com for more information on that. Two fingers in the air like a real player, cause I'm out of here.
Yeah! I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, cause we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. That need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
Oh, my ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Finesse Ross. There's no one that